Good day, Adrian. Thanks for joining us for another SaaS Golfer podcast. Super excited for this one. 2021 just began, first week out of the gates here, and you're a highly educated, highly trained physiotherapist at Mackie Physiotherapy here in Saskatoon. Thanks for joining us. How's things going for you in the golf industry and as a physio?
Hey, things are going really good. It was a bit of a different year last year with I guess the late start to everything, but it's been slowly getting back to normal. Things are starting to turn around again, and it's good to see, people getting back on top of things, getting ready for either winter indoor golf or some. There's surprisingly there are still some people traveling down south to go golf. Crossing the border to go golf still. A lot of people going out to BC ways, and they're getting themselves ready and everything. So it's good to see everybody's kind of getting back into shape. But
I've talked to Adrian, I've talked to a lot of people, whether indoors here, say going to the Dome, competitive golfers, older people. I'm finding with the older population of golfers, a lot of them, like you mentioned already, they're not going down south, the snowbirds, for their annual golf retreat where they can stay in shape and everything. So I think you're going to be in demand here moving forward another year, right? With a lot with the senior population.
Yeah, absolutely. The elder population is probably one of the higher populations that I see in my clinic. Almost, I would say probably 75 to 80% of people that come through my door when I go through a subjective with them, they'll be saying, I'll go through, what are your hobbies and interests, right? And a huge chunk of them will say, oh, I golf in the summertime, right? And so it's a huge industry that, I think in especially in my profession where people aren't maybe getting some of the required attention that they need specific to their golfing games. But I guess that's kind of one of the reasons why I got into, my line of work with the golf stuff is to fill that need for, not only the performance side of golf, but even just the recreation side of golf for some of those older populations and seniors who are a little bit more stiff and less mobile to begin with, but still love going out 3-4 times per week during the summertime to go take a few bucks off their buddies.
Exactly. Hey, that's a perfect lead in then, Adrian. So you're one of very few fully or not fully certified, but certified TPI certification. So I know there's three that I know of. You might know of more in Saskatchewan, and there's very few in Western Canada. So tell our listeners what TPI certified means when it comes to being a physio and as it relates to the golf or golfers' fitness.
Well, TPI stands for the Titleist Performance Institute. And so basically what that is in a nutshell is there was a chiropractor down in the States who was an avid golfer. He started working with a teaching professional down there, and they developed kind of this train of thought or this process where the body kind of dictates what the swing can do. And so they call it the body swing connection. And TPI is basically centered around that principle of how the body connects to the swing. And the Titleist Performance Institute is a not necessarily a facility, but it's more of a network of individuals, a network of people who have gone through the training that I have and have gone through the specific education regarding their teaching models. And so they have a few different kind of levels or areas. There's the medical professional side of things, which would be my classification. There's the golf expert, which would be like the PGA professional, teaching professionals, the club pros, that sort of stuff. Then there's also the fitness professionals, which would be the fitness professionals are not necessarily on the medical perspective, but they're a huge part of the medical perspective in terms of what we utilize. And then lastly, there's the junior development program as well, which the junior development program is highly focused on getting people in young and getting people moving well young to develop them through as golfers. So in a nutshell, that's basically TPI. What it stands for is kind of the idea that the body is the dictator of how your golf club meets that golf ball. So.
Okay. Yeah, right on, man. So like you said, you're on the medical professional end of it as far as certification. So that's important to know, because I've known about the TPI certification for, oh man, I probably a 10 plus years back to when I was working in Vernon. And when it was introduced, in my opinion, there was a misconception that amongst golf professionals, PGA of Canada, PGA of Saskatchewan members, whatever province, a misconception that you are kind of one of them, basically, kind of, you know, helping golfers not only with their biomechanics, but with their swing as well. Whereas that's, I wouldn't say it's far from that, but it's maybe clear up some misconception that I know is out there of, you know, you aren't going out actively pursuing golfers to work on their golf swing. You're actively working on, and you'll obviously explain it, but in my opinion, you're actively working on working together with golf professionals. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I've kind of had that experience as well, just in going to speak to some of the club professionals and the teaching professionals to introduce myself to them as a potential component of helping them, I guess, giving them a little bit of assistance with maybe some of their clientele. If they need me, I'm here, sort of thing. But yeah, you're right. The big thing that we would see there is that as a medical professional with a TPI certification, I'm not doing any swing analysis. I'm not doing any coaching of the swing or anything along those lines. In fact, when someone comes to see me, I don't even need a golf club to do an assessment. So what we do is we go through the TPI screen, which is a biomechanical evaluation of how the body is actually moving, to see, you know, where that person's at in relation to where they need to be. There's definitely efficiencies that your body needs to be able to do to have a good golf swing, but there's also things that we have to be able to evaluate and know, are these something that can change or that can't change? And so what I bring to the table for some of the teaching professionals and the club pros and basically anybody who works in the golf industry is a part of the team more than anything to make sure that the clientele that they're working with is bringing a full package to them so that it's easier for them to coach them, to put them through the paces to get their swing fine tuned. I always use an example. Bear with me. I speak in metaphors, but I use the example of kind of like a Formula One race car, right? Like if you want to fine tune a Formula One race car, you need to have wheels and an engine. And you need to have the components of what make up a Formula One car. Yeah. And so my perspective would be that I'm helping kind of put together the car to be prepared to be fine-tuned. Yeah. And so that's the way I look at my role is more of along the lines of if somebody's not moving as good as they should, they're not as strong as they should be, or they just don't have the components that their bodies need to swing effectively, then you know, we work together and we can put together a package that can then go to work on the actual swing analysis side of things and the coaching and the critiquing and all that sort of stuff just take them that next step.
Yeah, right on. Excellent. And could you give everyone a brief background in yourself? Or, you know what, I want to say straight up. So I went to you just a few weeks ago now. Yeah. And for an initial assessment to meet with you, you walked me through and tested me. And, you know what? I was surprised. I'm almost 50. I thought I was in pretty decent shape. And maybe I am cardio wise. I mean, I could walk in 18 holes, get a little fatigue in a 3 or 4 day tournament. I'll be the first to admit that. And my results prove that. Yeah. But anyway, walking through the original assessment with you, it only took, I don't know, close to an hour, right? And immediately afterwards, what was alarming, but at the same time, just at utmost educational, is you gave me the results of the torso rotation, just some static measurements. And you told me right away that I, as it relates to a golf handicap, my fitness handicap, the assessment there, I was a 35 handicap.
Yeah.
Wasn't too happy about that, but you know what? It gave me instant motivation to up my fitness game. So, yeah, I love it as much as it was punishing to hear. that's what I think golfers need. And that's where, I mean, there's from what I know, there's three TPI certified. There might be more certified professionals in Saskatchewan. As you pointed already out there, Adrian, you're in the medical division basically, right? And there's golf experts and the fitness professional and junior development. Oh shoot, the names are slipping me here now. There's a Tanner White down in the Regina area. Yeah. I've spoken to him and met with him, and I mean, utmost respect for you guys. You've dedicated your time and a financial investment to travel to take the TPI certification. Now there's so much growth in the area of golf fitness. I really hope things grow for you guys as a group. So walk us through maybe just briefly kind of what you walked me through. That initial assessment, what's an assessment entail?
Sure. So I use the TPI screen as the kind of foundation of my assessments for, I always say kind of like the low hanging fruit to just see what's glaring about a person's ability to move. And the TPI screen is designed specifically to do that. Anybody who has gone through the TPI program, I guess, has the ability to run that screen, and including the fitness professionals, the golf pro professionals, all that sort of stuff. They've all gone through the ability to run this screen. And the reason why it's important for everybody to be able to do this is it's just something that can be done to really expose a person's needs. As a medical professional, I take that information that's given to me from that, and we dive deeper into it. So for example, when we took you through your assessment, we go through the TPI screen, we start seeing, okay, there's some under rotation in torso, maybe some glute weakness, just some of these things that start to jump out from that screen that we start to see. And then we can go back into my office and actually dive into, you know, more along the lines of what's causing these things, more along the lines of, as a medical professional, how can I and me and yourself work together to implement change to take that to the next level. And so a lot of times, let's just say it's like a wrist in your assessment, we find, oh, your wrist doesn't move as well, right? From the TPI screen, that's all we get from it. It's your wrist doesn't move as well. We don't know why, we don't know how come, we don't know what we need to do about it. But as the physiotherapist in this situation here, we can go back to my office and actually dive into that a little bit more and say, okay, here, we found that your wrist didn't move as well. Let's figure out why, if it's changeable, maybe do a little bit of a background on that. Like, did you break it at some point in your life where, you know, it never healed as good as it should have? And if that's the case, we have to know that, because that can be something that we relay to the rest of your team. If you're working with a teaching professional and you have a wrist that can't cup or bow, then that's going to impact kind of their approach to your grip. That's going to impact their approach to kind of how they set you up at address, kind of some of the cues that they might be giving you through, you know, their swing coaching. But if it's something that we can take from our medical side of things and you know, provide that information to them as, look, this is something that's happened years ago. It's not going to be changing, or, you know, even let's just say it is going to be changing, something that we're going to work together towards. We have to know that it's going to impact the swing, whether it doesn't change or if it does change. Yeah. We have to know that. And that's something that I've seen in myself, is that as my body composition changes, as my body's mobility changes, as my strength changes, my swing changes with it. I went from being somebody who hit this high cut to now I'm hitting like a rope draw. And I think it has primarily to do with like the design of my body has changed so much over these last few years in terms of strength development and just my ability to get my hips involved a little bit more, all that sort of stuff. So the way my body actually swings the golf club has produced a different ball shape for me. Right. And it's just as a component of that, it's a good thing to know that how that body functions produces what that ball shape looks like, produces what your club head speed looks like, all of that information.
Yeah, right on, man. You mentioned, so after the assessment there, an original or initial assessment. Yep. So for me, or just using me as an example, so I've gone through that assessment with you. Again, not happy with the results, but it's all good. It's given me some motivation.
You got some stuff to improve your game, that's all.
Yeah, right. Plenty of that. So for me then, for using me as an example, gone through the assessment with you, what would be my next step with you?
So the next step for anybody who goes through an assessment with me is really determined by kind of what you want to get out of it, right? So for yourself, you kind of explained to me that you wanted to work on, you know, trying to improve your endurance so that throughout a 4-day tournament, you don't go from playing really well to all of a sudden you're bottom of the flight, right? Yeah. We want to make sure that your body's ability to kind of go to that level is there. So for example, if someone like yourself came to me with specific goals in mind, those goals can help us dictate what your next steps might be. If someone was coming to me, let's just say I'm dealing with a weekend warrior golfer who just says, I want to become a better golfer this year. Yeah. I want to be able to hit the ball farther. I want to be less sore when I golf, all these sorts of things. What we would focus on then is putting in place a plan to improve their total body function. So it would be more specific to what they bring to the table for yourself. We know we had some endurance stuff and some torso rotation stuff. Yeah. So I would give you some stuff to work on at home and on your own. But also I usually highly recommend coming to see me for some ongoing kind of residual treatment to make sure that we're going in the right direction. If we have to do any hands-on mechanical treatment, we can. For example, let's just say you're the person with the stiff wrist that we need to get moving. We can work on that wrist and see if it's capable of moving, or, you know, your back's stiff. We got to get that rotation happening. So we do some manual work on that. But in conjunction with that is we put it into a strength and conditioning program within our gym. So at our facility, we have our gym, and anybody that comes to see me gets the option to go into the gym to work on what I think is best for them. So for yourself, you know, that would be, you know, maybe a 3 to 4 day a week program that I develop with you to target and focus on the things that we found in your assessment. And from there, we kind of adjust things as things start to progress and change, we adjust them along the way, always kind of just being on top of it and never trying to push it to the limits where it's counterintuitive, but also we need to challenge your body to change. And that's one thing that a lot of people don't understand when they try to do stuff on their own, is that they don't challenge themselves enough. They try to make things too easy in the gym. The gym's not a place to go to make your life easier. It's actually a place you should go to make your life harder so that you get better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's one of the things I see. And then to that point, at my facility, I offer a membership program, a membership option, which gives people the ability to have access to the gym, free programming. So I build conditioning programs with them. They get to see me once per month for an hour, just as either maintenance work, like as a physiotherapist, we would do some stretching, some hands-on treatment, or if it's time that they're like, I want to work on my technique in the gym, I want to work on some components of movement, then we can designate that hour to them. But it allots them 1 hour of my time kind of once per month. A bunch of other cool things that we can add in with that, with free workshops and 10% discounts on any other treatments or services they need at my clinic and that sort of stuff. But it's more along of a membership package, kind of like a golf membership, I guess. You can pay for it up front and you have access to it for, you know, certain number of months, depending on which membership is selected. But
yeah, excellent. So I like it, man. Again, lots of options. You just pointed out plenty of them, right? And I think that's like golfers, like dedicated golfers, whether, you know, whether they're competitive junior golfers, however old or what gender. I think a misconception is that it's going to be a lot of time consumption, a lot of cost, a lot of financial investment to, you know, to work with a physiotherapist and a TPI trained professional, where I'm a big believer of, you know, golfers are spending $500-$600 plus on one golf club.
Yeah.
Right? They're investing every year, you know, a few thousand dollars just on their membership alone, never mind, or you add in all the, you know, the additional, you know, food and beverage, just, you know, just the whole golfing experience. I wish I would have invested in my health back when I, you know, got into competitive golf as a late teenager. I've gotten into a late start here, but again, really hope things, you know, the golfers, you know, invest in themselves. I think you guys are, you're all in an excellent position. Really every, you know, I keep mentioning the three TPI certified trainers in Saskatchewan, yourself, Tanner White, and Dallas Mingle here in Saskatoon as well.
There's another one, Sean Lamb. Yeah, Sean Lamb out in Regina as well. He's actually a good buddy of mine, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, yeah, four plus maybe, but I mean, we've already pointed out, you've all got your own specialization. Mm-hmm. And so golfers have a lot of options. And again, what I really like with your specific background as a, or experience as a career as a physiotherapist, combined with the TPI certification, when I was in your office, Adrian, for that initial first time I met you, you know, we spend 5-10 minutes just talking, and right away you were throwing out golf terms as a physiotherapist. And that was probably the strongest element throughout our initial meeting, Adrian, that really, you know, I had your trust and respect right from the start. As soon as you know, started relating, you know, talking about Bryson DeChambeau or Lexi Thompson on the LPGA tour or senior tour golfers, it was so relatable. So, and that's I think what you all bring, all four of you, here in Saskatchewan. You've got your own experiences, you're relatable, and you're gonna obviously, you know, again, you've invested the time and financial commitment to bettering yourself and passing along to bettering golfers. So I love this. Love it. I love these interviews where, you know, I can relate because I'm a competitive golfer. Everybody wants to get better. And, you know, it just comes down to an investment and a commitment, right?
Speaking to that point a little bit, I'm just going to mention, because I am a physiotherapist, if people are coming to see me, if you have benefits, insurance benefits and coverage, because I am a physio, it any services that I provide are insurance covered. Okay. So you can claim them on your benefits packages. So with my membership package that I've developed, I've designed it so that it can be used as, you know, as that membership benefit for your coverage. And so you get an insurance receipt at each of the sessions that you can then submit.
Yeah.
And claw back some of that funding back from your insurance company. So it makes it a little bit easier to afford that way as well.
Yeah. And you know what, again, that's I think one of the barriers that golfers have or experiencing when, you know, they're uncertain whether or not to commit to a fitness program. So let's continue on with that example, Adrian. So let's just put a round number out there. Let's say that someone came to you for a $500 package, just as a number, in your experience with what you mentioned there with the insurance claim, medical claim, what would be the actual cost?
Depending on the person's specific insurance, but if it's a $500 package, technically speaking, most coverages are up to $500 a year. Most insurance companies have up to $400 to $500 of coverage. So basically it would be of zero cost to the individual showing up to get those. Now there's that upfront cost, right? It's you know, they pay for it in a lump sum and they get an insurance receipt at every one of their appointments. So the way it works is it's membership based.
Yeah.
And so they pay for the membership and at their service date, they get the insurance receipt and then they submit that to their insurance company. And then they would refund them their spending at that point in time. So there is an upfront cost, but when you look at the lump sum or the total sum, it usually kind of sums to zero for say a $500 package of some sort.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Again, that's key. I mean, even for myself, it's like, whoa, what do I want to invest in myself? So if golfers have that opportunity to recover those costs, that's huge.
Yeah.
Excellent. Lots
of unique experience to being a physiotherapist, I guess, is that I can provide services that people can have coverage for. Whereas if you went to say an exercise therapist or even if it's a TPI certified exercise therapist, that's not insurable. That's not covered by insurance. Whereas my services as a physiotherapist are, no matter what I'm providing. I have a Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology and Exercise Therapy. So I do a lot of strength and conditioning with all my clients, regardless of if you're a golf specialist or a weekend warrior, marathon runner, or whatever you are. That's kind of something that I bring to the table uniquely because of my background as a kinesiologist and now a physiotherapist as well. So,
yeah, awesome. Excellent information. Curious as to, so there's obviously different ages and levels of golfers, different genders. We talked about it briefly when I was in your office there, but a golfer walking through the door, female golfer walking through the door, male golfer, senior golfer, junior golfer, based on your TPI certification now and your experiences in golf and as a physio, what are some of the differences that golfers will, I guess, will experience as far as the assessment and just kind of overall results coming out of your experience with you?
Sure. Tricky question. It kind of all comes down to what they bring to the table to begin with. We can have a 70-year-old person who is, you know, really, really good shape, good mobility, has taken care of themselves. And we can have on the flip side of that, a 7-year-old who comes in who can't even touch his toes. So what they bring to the table really does kind of implement a little bit of, you know, a guide of where we need to go with things. Sometimes when we're looking at, you know, different genders, different age groups, even just different goals in terms of performance goals, it really determines what that person's going to get out of things. For example, the 70-year-old person who can't touch his toes, they're going to find huge improvements just from working with me in general, just because we start putting some emphasis on some of the things that they need to work on, regardless of how old they are or what age or what gender they are. They're just going to see improvements because they're actually putting some effort into something that makes a change in not only their golfing, but their quality of life, their general life performance as well. On the flip side of that, if we get more to the performance side of things, we can get a little bit, this is where I get into the fun stuff with the performance side of stuff, where it's, we're no longer working on the minutiae of, you know, the joint that doesn't move or anything like that. We're starting to take that and fine tune the dial a little bit in terms of weight shift and power and all that sort of stuff to get into a little bit more of the performance aspect of producing power and stability and control so that they can produce an effective golf swing, not only efficiently, but consistently. Because it's one thing to be strong and powerful one or two times, but if you do that consistently and you lose the endurance side of things, like yourself, for example, by the end of a tournament, you're you know, on the last day of the tournament, you're kind of going, well, where's my game gone? I was playing so well. And that can be something that we work on in, as the performance side of things, is just taking things to the next level. You mentioned kind of females and juniors and stuff as well. The interesting thing is that there's really no difference in terms of what they should be doing. The formula is kind of there. Exercise science kind of states that, you know, no matter your age, gender, or capability, you can always improve it through the fundamentals of training. And, you know, a female golfer versus a male golfer, there's not much difference in terms of what they should be doing to prepare themselves to golf, to train their structures, to make sure that their core is strong, to make sure that their hips are strong. We do a lot of the same fundamental exercises. There's no real disadvantage to being a female or a male golfer with regards to what you need to do to train. The interesting thing is that there is, I guess maybe more along the lines of like a social thought that females shouldn't be strength training as hard as males. But that's totally a myth. You know, you hear it where girls are like, I don't want to lift weights. I don't want to work out because I don't want to get bulky. And that's probably one of the biggest hindering myths that we've seen for female health for, you know, many years now, is that girls are scared of lifting weights. And I think it has to do with they're scared to get big and bulky and look like a man. But when we get to it, you know, you look at Olympic athletes, you look at all these high-end athletes, they don't look like men. They look like powerful performers. Yeah. You look at the LPGA, you know, they put in, look at Brooke Henderson, for example. They put in all the same training, all of the same intensities into their fitness regimens. And you look at the performance that they can put out onto the course, you know, and that's because of what they do, because of that emphasis on the weight training and the strength training and the power and all that sort of stuff. It doesn't make them look manly in any way. And that's, you know, I would say one of the big myths that I see a lot with people being fearful to train.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Thinking of a LPGA player, tour player that is very visible, very social with social media is Lexi Thompson. Anybody following her on social media, I mean, you know, 3 out of 4 of her posts are of her in the gym, like just going hard with physical fitness, whether it's stretching or weight training and all that. And look at the results, right? She's one of the top 5 in the world. And you mentioned Brooke Henderson, obviously. I like the fact that in Saskatchewan here, what everything you just explained there, Adrian, a young Brooklyn Fry, she's a provincial champion, as I believe within the amateur division, still about 17 years old here in Saskatchewan. And she's a multi-sport athlete. So she's highly competitive in hockey as well. And so obviously but I'm assuming just about 12 months of the year, she's doing some level of training. And look at the results. I mean, young female golfers here in Saskatchewan need, you know, they've got a local inspiration here in Brooklyn Fry, or I think of a Carrie Vereshchagin, a local dietitian with Eat Well Saskatchewan. Same thing. I mean, she she kind of burst onto the golf scene here in Saskatchewan, competitive golf scene, within the last 4 or 5 years. And I mean, she's at every competitive golf event, strives for loves her competitive golf. And again, she's a multi-sport athlete, played volleyball back with the U of S, I believe. And just saying that, Adrian, that I'm just such a big advocate for obviously Saskatchewan, our Saskatchewan athletes, and just utilizing our Saskatchewan resources in you, right? In a Carrie Vereshchagin. And we've got so many trained professionals here in Saskatchewan, not only in the golf industry, but just trained professionals, period, in technology or whatever sector. And it's amazing. It's so, again, I'm just, this is this is all good stuff. You mentioned a word there that maybe you could clean up. And for me, mainly, this is for my own reference, but we hear all the time core, right? Yeah. In any sport, whether it's core stability or core strength or core this or core that. Can you maybe clear up and explain, if you can, the difference, I guess, as it comes to golfers, the difference between working on core strength and core stability?
Sure. So basically, I'll give you a little bit of a in a nutshell, and then I'll dive into it a little bit.
Okay.
So the biggest thing about the core when it comes to any sport performance, doesn't matter if it's golf, hockey, baseball, lacrosse, whatever it is, having the ability to transfer force through your body is how you will become a good athlete. And a powerful athlete. And so when we're looking at the core specifically, it's the powerhouse. The core and the glutes are the powerhouse of any type of sport and athlete. And so when we get into stability versus strength, the word stability means resisting change. So for example, if you were to stand in front of me and I push you, and you fall over, that means you couldn't resist the change that I impacted on you, right? Yeah. And when we look at the golf specifically, when we look at a swing, there's so much moving parts that the core becomes this vital component of resisting this change in position, so that you can then take that recoiled elastic energy and transfer that through your feet, through your legs, through your hips, through all the way to your hands, to make sure that club head has all of that power into it. Yeah. And so stability is the design of resisting change and having the ability to create that strong resistance of tension. Whereas strength, on the other side of things, is the design to make it so that it's movable, right? So for example, if somebody has the ability to crunch, you know, 600 pounds, for example, I don't know why you'd want to crunch 600 pounds, but if you can crunch 600 pounds, you've got good strength, you've got a strong core, but that doesn't mean that it becomes a stable core, right? The only way to train core stability is to create core stability is to train it. And that's through resistance of change kind of training. So as a component of a lot of people that work with me is gym programming, we work on stability of the core versus strength of the core. Core strength is important, but if we're looking at, you know, if I put two people side by side and I had a person that did a bunch of core stability training in terms of, let's just say, some resisted rotation stuff, some resisted flexion stuff, some resisted extension stuff. And I'm talking about directions of the torso moving here, flexing, and bending, and that sort of stuff. If we're creating that resistance of that, they're going to have a big improvement in their stability. If I gave the person on the opposite side of things just to do a bunch of crunches and a bunch of leg kicks or something like that, if I put those two people head to head in terms of like stability and I tested their ability to produce power, the person who did all this stability training is going to be much, much higher up in their performance level, simply for the fact that force that they can generate is translating to the implement they're trying to hit the ball with, versus the other one not necessarily being able to do that.
Yeah, gotcha. Right on, man. How much do you follow the guys or female golfers even, but let's focus on maybe the PGA Tour. Do you follow the golfers? Do you like the, a lot or?
Yeah, quite a bit, you know, I have a 16 month old. So every weekend I got the golf game on the TV and he's putting the ball around while I watch. So yeah, I follow quite closely.
Okay. Right on. So just comparing a few of the golfers then, like number one in the world right now, Dustin Johnson, he's got a different physique, height, weight, everything, athletic ability, as opposed to a sort of, say, a popular golfer that's making a lot of noise, a lot of buzz, based on his athletic endeavor, I guess, of gaining weight and muscle, Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
So what's, I guess in your opinion, with your training with the TPI, what's kind of the ideal physique, I guess, for male, female? We already touched on a multi-sport athlete kind of thing. And, but yeah, what's, in your mind, you match up a Dustin Johnson and a Bryson DeChambeau over a 4-day tournament, hot conditions, or extremely hot conditions, maybe a hilly terrain. Who's going to come out on top, in your opinion?
Well, you know, that's interesting. I've never really thought of it from that perspective. But when we look at, I'll just talk about Bryson for a second here. When we look at the stuff that he's been doing to improve his swing speed, his power levels, you know, not only from a club perspective, because he's doing a lot of stuff with his clubs, but from his body's perspective, he's trying to take and make golf more of a mechanics-based sport versus a skills-based sport. I mean, don't get me wrong, it takes a ton of skill to still be able to do what Bryson's doing, to be able to take all of that and hit a golf ball as consistently and accurately as he is. You know, when we look at the two people, they bring different things to the table in terms of what their game has. I would say that Dustin Johnson might have a little bit more consistency behind him in terms of, you know, he's focusing on a little bit more of where his mental game is, where his physical game is, and all of that sort of stuff kind of happening all in one big unified synergistic thing approach. Whereas we look at Bryson DeChambeau, who we can kind of tell he's got a little bit more of a power focused, you know, I'm just going to hit it. I'm going to go for it. I don't really care what's going to happen. You know, that can get you into trouble sometimes. And we saw that a little bit at the Masters, right? So, you know, where Dustin Johnson shows up and puts together all of the pieces of the puzzle, and Bryson DeChambeau shows up, doesn't hit it bad, but hits a few bad. You know, that's a component that he has to deal with all of this power that he's trying to deal with. Is that, you know, if you're trying to take and implement that approach to things, there's going to be more margin for bigger blowups, I guess.
Yeah.
Versus the Dustin Johnson's approach to things, where it's like, I'm going to make the smart play here. I'm going to take I'm not going to try and cut the corner. I'm going to play this smartly and you know, make sure that I get my par and move on.
Yeah. More strategy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so between the two of those, there's that component of it. Physically speaking, you know, I've watched videos of Bryson training and of Dustin Johnson training and what they do. Yeah. What they do is very, you know, intense for both. Dustin Johnson's training program is definitely more, a lot more foundational and fundamental training. And Bryson has his own home gym specifically designed for himself, with, you know, all of this kind of specialty equipment, and he runs through kind of on a circuit basis. And so it's a little less of the foundational component stuff that I would look at with, like, say, squats and deadlifts and all that sort of stuff. There's a lot less of that involved, and he's using a lot more machines with lever arms and stuff like that, more mechanical based, I guess you'd put it. And so their training methods are fairly different in some components. So what their results are going to be a little bit different. the interesting thing that you said, you know, hot weather and that sort of stuff, that comes down to, I guess, more nutritional, yep, endurance-based training, right? So if they're not recovering well, right, yep, let's just say it's a hot condition and Bryson's putting out all of this output, but not replenishing, right? Yep. He's not going to last as long. Whereas, you know, if you're maybe not having as high of an output, but you're focusing just on much as on the recovery side of things, you're probably going to last a little bit longer and have that stamina to continue that, that quality of play throughout the tournament.
Yeah.
So I guess it comes down to it, a balanced equation. Yeah. If you're taking so much out, but you're not replacing it and your recovery is not as good, yeah, you're probably not going to last as long. So that's something that Bryson, I'd say, would probably attest to. And that's, he's got sponsors that, you know, he talks about his power drinks and all that sort of stuff for his recovery and replenishment, because, you know, he's putting out all of this output. He, yeah, needs to replenish it. And a heat induced draining is going to emphasize that even more.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that word, recovery. I've heard with Kerry Vershagen with Eat Well Saskatchewan as well. That's one of her big educational, just information she passes along to the golf community is that recovery. It's tough though, Adrian. I mean, yeah, golf is such a social game. Like, I think of our golfers in Saskatchewan going to the provincial Saskatchewan amateur women's championship or the men's championship, senior, whatever it may be, outside of the juniors, there's such a social component, right? 4 or 5 hours, say, for your round of golf, and then hanging around with your group and other golfers, it's tough to recover without, you know, just slipping out the back door saying, I'll be right back, and go to the hotel room or home if you're fortunate enough to the championships in your home city. But it's tough to get that recovery, proper recovery in, yeah, championships. Or I think of our national competitors, right? Davey Stewart, Danny Klugart, young up and comers like Ty Campbell. There's so many quality golfers, male and female, in Saskatchewan. It's tough to get that recovery in.
You know, the biggest thing that I could say is just to have a plan in place.
Have a plan, yeah.
You know, a lot of people will show up to the course with all the preparation, but all the readiness to go out and put a good round together. But when they get off the course, a lot of times what I see is a lot of times they go, it's done. I finished, I putted out on 18. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right. And then they start again when they start warming up again.
Right.
And so I would say the plan is the big thing, is just plan in your recovery stuff, you know. If you're playing in a championship, you know, you're there for the weekend. You're there for that specific reason. I mean, there's no harm in going and having, you know, a social beverage and grabbing a bite to eat or whatever. But, you know, when you do get back to your hotel or to your house and that sort of stuff, you got to remember that you just spent 4 or 5 hours out in the heat. Number one, you're going to make sure you got to hydrate, right? Replenish those fluids, get everything back into you. You got to make sure that all of that rotation and all of that movement that you did, all of the tightness that you've created, you got to do something to take care of that, so that tomorrow when you wake up, you're not waking up going, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to swing today. Right. Yeah. So yeah, if you take care of it, and plan that, it can be something that implements, you know, a bigger improvement in your game the next day.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, right on, man. This is a good lead in then. Question I have is for that last minute golfer, whether he or she is going just for a casual round, men's or women's night, but if for any round of golf, for that last minute golfer, shows up 5 minutes before their tee time, does zero exercise over and above outside of their what they're thinking they're getting for exercise with their golf round. But for that last minute golfer, what's something they can do for a couple minutes at a bare minimum to just ensure that they don't hurt themselves, basically?
So are we talking about when they show up to the golf course and just
yeah,
three-round get ready kind of thing?
Yeah, like a bare minimum. I mean, I've done it myself. I've seen it, you know, whether it's the McKenzie Tour players or upwards of, I haven't hung around with PGA Tour, LPGA Tour players, but I've seen, yeah, I've witnessed it where they get out of the vehicle, a quick stretch, you know, the touch their toes kind of thing. And and whether it's accidental, they slept in or whatever it may be, traffic. Like what's something, let's give it, say, a 5 minutes. What are kind of a handful of key stretches or anything the golfer needs to do?
Sure. So we got to look at it from the two components that we got to focus on would be starting to get mobility, right? So the joints that have to move at the biggest degrees of range of motion in the golf swing, the upper back, so the thoracic spine, the shoulders, and the hips. Those three things are the big movers of the golf swing. The rotation of the hip socket is super important for recoil and follow through. So we would do, you know, I don't know how comfortable people are getting down on their backs on the tee box or the practice warm-up area, whatever room you got, laying down and just doing some gentle hip stretches, open up the hips, get things moving, because the hips are, like we talked about, the powerhouse of the golf swing. So if they're not able to do their job, you're going to have a problem. And same thing with the upper back, we would do some rotational stretches, either laying down rotational stretches, or you can do the classic club behind the back golf swing position rotation, right? You see a lot of people do that, but they'll do maybe five rotations. They'll say good enough. we're probably needing a little bit more than that to crack off the rust there, but that would be a good one. And then the shoulders as well. So more so for the shoulders, we're not looking as much at range of motion, but control. So through the TPI, actually, we have a shoulder warm-up sequence that we go through to kind of warm up the rotator cuff. And I can kind of verbally talk people through it. And it would be hands together in front, elbows and palms touching, and just doing a seesaw up and down while squeezing the elbows together as hard as possible, getting that kind of range of motion in the shoulders and the rotator cuff woken up a little bit. Yeah. And then we go into elbows wide, palm together position. And we go rotate forwards and backwards through the hands to get the rest of the rotator cuff mobility and range opened up. So I guess those would be the three vital components of mobility that I would say, if you've got 5 minutes, make sure that's moving, make sure that's got its capability. Otherwise you put yourself at risk of injury.
Yeah.
Not only that, but your first three holes are going to wreck the rest of your round, because by the time you actually get warm on hole number four, you're like, wow, I wish I wouldn't have doubled number one.
You know? Yeah.
Happens to me all the time.
I hear you. Thinking back just a few years ago, I think it was 2016, I've caddied multiple times for a good friend, really good golfer, fit guy, Brad Clapp. He was on the McKenzie Tour. And what you mentioned there about, you know, being on the driving range, if golfers aren't comfortable getting on the ground, it's simple, just put a towel on the ground. But I witnessed golf when I caddied for him a few times. He'd do just that, grab a towel, and he would spend, you know, a good solid 5 minutes plus, 5 to 10 minutes. And it just to compare, like as I'm watching him, seeing the other golfers, I mean, he was one of very few that were actually doing some golf specific stretching and exercises right there on the tee box. Yeah. You've benefit of the doubt, other players, maybe they did their stretching in the hotel or in the parking lot or wherever, in the pro shop, or not pro shop, but in the clubhouse in the separate area. But I mean, I love the fact that Brad was, you know, 15 minutes before his tee time doing some static and dynamic stretches that were, I could tell, I mean, he got the blood flow pumping, and it just, and watching him hit balls outside of the quality strikes, like immediately, you know, he could step up and hit a three wood or a driver. Just, he was so fully prepared, and just love the fact that he was what you mentioned there. Like he's ready for the round physically.
Yeah.
You know, it's not taking him three holes, five holes walking and getting loose on the golf course. I mean, and that's, he was a champion on the McKenzie Tour, and just there's so many good examples that we can tap into.
Actually, that you bring that up, because in the States, when I was down doing my TPI certification down in the States, there was a lot of talk about the move to having fitness facilities and areas in the clubhouses at some of these country clubs.
Is that right?
And they're actually having to, they're all, there's a big push where a lot of country clubs are putting in fitness facilities and warm-up areas and recovery areas right in their clubhouses, because there is this, I guess we call it a push towards how important, you know, the fitness side of golf is, how important the body's capabilities are in golf are. Yeah. And I think that's a cool thing to see happening down in the States. Hopefully it starts happening up here. Yeah. But, you know, I would really like to see more of that, because it's a component of golf that people are missing.
Yeah. You know what? It's happening, Adrian. I've witnessed it, and I'm glad you pointed that out and are hearing it down at your TPI training there. Is thinking back, whether it was last summer or the summer before, it's a couple of years ago now, at the Saskatoon Scotia Wealth Management City Championship. One of the host facilities, it's a two-day event, one of the host facilities was Riverside that year. And I showed up however long before my tee time, just helping get ready and everything. And so at Riverside Country Club, I go into the washroom just to clean up and kind of took a wrong turn. I don't get to route to Riverside enough. I'm not familiar with the men's locker room, but took a wrong turn and walking along, and I look over into this small room. Wasn't very big. Had a couple mats in it, exercise mats and a physio ball and maybe a couple weights. I can't remember, but looked down on the ground and there's Jeremy Wright. So Jeremy's one of the top golfers, top amateur golfers in Saskatchewan. And I looked down, I'm like, whoa, hey, what are you doing kind of thing. I was kind of just surprised to see someone there.
Yeah.
And just on the flip side, though, was immediately love the fact that it was one of the top golfers in Saskatchewan. You know, he's picking out his space privately where he's not going to get disturbed. Guys, you know, throwing golf balls at him or whatever, out physically out on the golf course, or you know, other guys trying to have some fun with them. It was great. I love to see. And thinking back now, like, it's Jeremy was probably finished top three in that event, but just to go along with what you're saying there, more and more clubs are planning for more of that stretching and just the physical component.
And I think that's really cool to hear that Riverside has, like, even just the even if it is a small room, just the space that available, that they said, hey, this is something we should focus on. So it's good to know that clubs around here are definitely starting to see that. In the winter months, you know, because we are in Saskatchewan, where it's, you know, a small golf season and a long winter, in our eyes anyway. It would be cool to see a little bit more of those, you know, clubs become a 12-month club where, you know, they start having simulators and fitness facilities and, you know, that sort of stuff, that memberships can be bought, you know, for a 12-month membership where summertime's golfing, wintertime is, you know, your country club fitness facility and recovery facility, all that sort of stuff. Getting a little bit more towards the proactive side of things versus the reactive side of things.
Right. Yeah. You hit it right. You're totally current with what's happening in the golf industry in Canada and specifically here in Saskatchewan. Exactly what you said. Like, clubs are because the growth of golf has exploded basically since March of last year of 2020. Golfers are wanting to take care of their members and maintain their membership base. So they're adding, you know, golf simulators. I'm sure some are exactly what you said there, Adrian, adding specific rooms, you know, adding a couple exercise bikes or some weights so that golfers can spend more time at their chosen facility. Something new that's just come up here within the last couple months is there's a high-end premium facility, fitness facility. I don't know the exact terminology, but I'll say it's a fitness facility in Regina. Formerly was the 1621 Club. They've changed ownership, rebranding. The name's slipping me right now, but
is that the Wascana?
Pardon me.
Is the Wascana running that?
I'm not sure if they're running it. I have seen Wascana affiliated it with it at some level. I don't want to speak on behalf of them.
I think that's where Sean Lamb, that other TPI certified guy, I think that's where he's working out of a big chunk of his stuff out of there.
Okay.
Because it sounds very familiar. What you're explaining sounds exactly what Sean was describing to me. So.
Yeah, and you know what? It's I've been there as it was formerly 1621 Club and a premium fitness facility for all sports. So fortunately, and I believe they're still working with it, but they had an indoor hitting bay with the TrackMan technology, which is top end on the market as far as data analysis for the golfers. And they've got an in-house PGA Saskatchewan professional. Everything we're talking, discussing back and forth here, Adrian, and what you pointed out, like where you'd love to see, and you've heard it happening down in the States where clubs are adding more of the fitness component and keeping the golfers engaged. And you know what? I see it as providing more value, really, for that golfer.
Not only that, but they stay members longer at your facility if they can be in shape to play golf or golf longer.
Yeah.
Right. So you might get some of those older men, women, and children out to the facility more frequently, and I guess expose them to the golf environment a little bit more for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
So their golf age gets bigger.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. 100%. When it comes to fitness, so. We talked about we talked about plenty already, Adrian. I'd just like to hear from your opinion on going to the gym. I personally have a hard time getting myself to the gym. It's new year, new resolution, the same as it is every year. But anyway, if I was to choose, or if I wanted to, I don't have enough time when I go to the gym and I'm like, okay, well, not in the mood for cardio or not in the mood for weight training. Between the two, cardiovascular training, hitting the bike, treadmill, whatever it may be, is it better off for a golfer to focus on if to choose between one or the other, focus on cardio or the weight training?
100% weight training.
Is that right?
Yeah, because weight training will give you a cardiovascular workout as well if done properly, right? So, you know, you're kind of getting two birds at once with that. If you only do cardiovascular training and forego the weight training, you're not going to gain any strength, stability, or control. If I was to choose one that would be more superior, it would definitely be strength training, more weight training. And like I said, if you're doing it properly and with a succinct plan and following kind of things to where they need to be, you can get a pretty darn good cardiovascular workout from said strength training, and you're not missing the gains of the strength side of things.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. I love it. So I've basically made the decision, no more cardio. I hate cardio.
There's still value in doing cardio for the sake of doing cardio. But if you had to choose, if it was like, I don't have time to do anything, I would go with strength training.
Yeah.
The one thing that I will comment on is that the better the cardiovascular system is at working, the faster you recover.
Okay.
So if your cardiovascular system can replenish your muscles, replenish your nutrients, your metabolism, basically, if you can get those energy stores back to, you know, baseline levels faster, you'll be able to perform at that high level right away again. Yeah. And so that's one of the big things that we see with cardiovascular training is that people who are highly cardiovascular fit recover a much, much faster, and they can perform at higher levels longer.
Gotcha. Excellent. Perfect answer, man. So on the same subject then. So say, again, the golf season is short here in Saskatchewan and in Canada in general, and the competitive golf season comes up quick for a lot of the golfers. So let's say the first competitive event is the Scotia Wealth Open up in Nipawin. Every competitive golf, male competitive and females, competitive golfers know about the event, and they you know, it's right out of the gate, and a lot aren't prepared. So when it comes to preparation for walking and competing, whether it's the first event is a 2-day event or a 4-day event, what's kind of the time frame lead up, I guess, if a golfer isn't going to the gym throughout the whole entire winter months, what's kind of that minimum lead up? They need to lift a weight or do some walking if they want to be, if they want to compete, if they want to finish, top five.
I'll give you an easy answer. 12 weeks.
12 weeks.
12 weeks. Perfect. That's what I would recommend. I mean, they can do it in shorter, but to be at a level where you're ready to go and you're saying, I want to perform like it's mid-season on my first tournament, I would say 12 weeks. And I would break that down into 4-week increments.
4-week increments.
Yeah, so three groups of four, basically. So I would do the first 4 weeks as kind of like a just get things going again.
Yeah.
Kind of reintegrating strength, stability, control, just kind of getting things moving. The next 4 weeks would be focused on developing strength. And then the final 4 weeks would be making that strength become more powerful and starting to do a little bit more explosive-based movement so that it's ready and available come golf season. So yeah, that's the easy way to look at it would be get things moving, make people stronger and better, make that become more functional and more effective for their actual golf.
Okay. Excellent. Another perfect answer. You're on a roll here, my man. I love it.
I think about this stuff at night.
Well, there you go. You know what? That's what we need. That's what the golf community needs is dedicated professionals like you that can educate, right? And you're local, you're accessible. Just the local component. And thinking back, I believe it was last spring before COVID hit, a well-known award-winning PGA Saskatchewan professional out at the Willows, Clinton Schmaltz, brought in some experts. Carrie Vereshchagin was one of them, talking about nutrition. And the other guests were talking about mental training and mental preparation and some strength training and the fitness component. But what worked, what was really impressive and what worked for the overall, it ended up being a day of sessions, in-person sessions, was just, again, the local component to it, right? If I'm listening or, getting educated in anything, if I've got a local expert I can tap into and listen to, I'm going to pay that much more attention because they've got the local stories. They've got that experience with, they're going to name drop a few people they're working with, right? And it's like, whoa, it just hits home that much easier and that much stronger. So you guys are in such a really good position to get the information out there. I'll do everything I can, Adrian.
I appreciate it. And like we discussed previously, what I foresee for the local golf community is a much more kind of collaborative team approach between medical professionals, nutrition professionals, PGA teaching professionals, all that sort of stuff. It's more of us working together. There's definitely a need for it. And, we all improve each other's lives, I think. So I think that's something I've been trying to strive for I've been trying to work for, but hopefully we see a little bit more of that in the next few years here.
Yeah. You know what? I've seen your efforts. I appreciate it. And it does take time just with anything else. It's I think it's an overall golf industry thing. Like it's until a person like you or even myself gets immersed and settled and growing some relationships and connections in a specific golf community, it will grow. It's just going to take some time for everybody. One last question when it comes to just overall fitness and areas of specifically for golfers. Based on our discussion, Adrian, I'm realizing that overall fitness obviously is important. But narrowing it down, whether it's a golfer needing to improve range of motion, improve their diet, adding weight, losing weight, what's kind of a initial top priority to improve your golf game when it comes to, I guess, your expertise?
Well, it's going to come down to the biomechanics. So like we talked about with kind of where my head always goes with anybody that walks through my door and says, I'm a golfer, I want to be better at golf. It's always going to be how their body connects to their swing. And so the biomechanics of their swing is the most important thing, which is kind of an easy way to say strength through range of motion. Basically, as long as they have the ability to bring an effective swing to the table, then it can produce. And that, like I said, that's kind of like that Formula One race car where we make sure we have the wheels and the engine on the car before we fine tune it. And I guess it's kind of maybe a cop out, but I would say that any physique can swing, and anybody can swing. And it's not necessarily that there are, you know, there's not one way to swing a golf club, right? And we see that on the pro tours all the time, where we got somebody like, say, Jim Furyk, and somebody like Mickelson and Tiger, and, you know, Bryson DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson. All of those are massively different golf swings. So we can easily say there's not one way to swing a golf club, but there's one way to swing a club for that specific person. And we got to figure out what that specific person needs in order to bring an effective golf swing to the table. And so a biomechanical assessment would be my priority, is to find out, okay, what do you need to work on specifically? If we're talking about, you know, the difference between strength training, endurance training, nutrition, all of those are, you know, pieces of the pie. And I would say it comes down to the person's motivation, right? And if we're talking about, yeah, I don't want to change my diet, I just want to become more strong or something along those lines, everybody's going to bring a different kind of motivational factor to the table. But if someone's motivating factor is, I want to be in better shape, I want to lose some weight so that it's easier for me to swing a golf club, well, then that motivating factor is going to kind of win all the time, over top of me trying to push something on them that they're not really motivated to do. Yeah. So everybody's got their own kind of individual motivating factors. When people come through my door, it's usually pain. their motivating factor is, I don't want to hurt as bad, and I want to recover better in between golfing, that sort of stuff. So, you know, the motivating factor there would be the big thing about which one do you focus on. If people are coming to me, it's usually because of either I want to get stronger, I want to become more mobile, and I want to produce better output.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Perfect answer as well. Before we wrap up, Adrian, just I'll make sure we announce kind of how golfers or how people in general can get a hold of you here at Mackey Physiotherapy. But before we wrap up, any last recommendations or quotes or anything you want to pass along to the golf community?
Well, I guess one thing that I would say is that, you know, when we look at people's ability to do things, it's always, you can always improve, right? You can always get better. Sure, you can be proud of where you are, but you can always improve on some capacity. So, one thing that I would say is that if you're trying to take yourself to the next level of performance or nutrition or anything along those lines, it's definitely, you're capable of doing it. You just got to put in the time and the effort to do it. So yeah. People get scared of starting things because they get scared about what the requirements are. Honestly, the most important thing is to just start to show up. My motto for 2021 is show up. That's for myself, myself included, is if I'm making a commitment to go to the gym, show up. Once I'm there, put in the effort, you know?
Yeah.
And that would be my kind of go-to motto right now.
Yeah, I love it. Well done.
And then in terms of people getting a hold of me, you want me to kind of touch on that a little bit as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm at Mackey Physiotherapy on Arlington Avenue. And if you want to pop by, you can pop by and chat with me and book an appointment or anything along those lines. You can hop onto our website, Mackey Physiotherapy, or actually it's MackeyPhysio.com, and check us out there. The other one way would be to touch base with me via email. I email with my clients all the time, so it's kind of my most common communication platform. And that would be at adriancochet@shaw.ca.
Okay, excellent. So you mentioned technology in your email there and working with your existing clients. So with the situation everybody's in here and with the Zoom meetings taking off, and so, if people are comfortable with technology, are you finding the golfers are, what can you do, I guess, outside of physically being present with a golfer or one of your clients? Is there opportunities there for a golfer to still learn from you without being physically present in your office or in the gym there?
Yeah, so I'll touch on two things. Every year I put out two workshop or webinars that now they're webinars, but right now I've done a Ready to Golf one, which I do in March, which is basically what we talked about, is like people are saying, oh crap, the golf season's coming up, I got to do something to get ready. Yeah. And that's kind of more of an educational webinar about, okay, golf season coming up, what do I got to focus on? Where should I do all of this preparatory work, and why should I do it, more importantly. So there's the Ready to Golf one. And then I have the off-season workshop that I did in October. And that was, again, kind of more along the lines of golf season's done, what do I do during the winter to keep my body healthy and moving for the rest of the winter? So those would be more, formal educational workshops or webinars. Those are free, by the way. I put those out for free when those come up. If people want to look into those, they're usually on our website, MackeyPhysio.com. Or the other one would be just by contacting our office and finding out when the dates of those workshops would be and signing up for those.
Okay.
And then the other way would be a one-on-one call with myself. It's called telehealth. It's kind of like the online physiotherapy version of things. I do this with a few people. A few of my clients are not in Saskatchewan or not in Saskatoon. I do see some of my clients from Alberta and Regina and stuff like that we have video conference calls with to work together. It's harder to do, definitely harder to do over a video conference. It's not as easy to kind of be as focused on the minutiae and fine tuning of things, right? But it's definitely a good place to start, or better than doing nothing at all, that's for sure.
Yeah, 100% there. And you know what, we'll do our best to push out the messages to the SAS golfer community when your offerings come up there, for sure.
Yeah,
okay, my man, last question then. We throw this out to all our guests. This upcoming summer, the golf industry in Saskatchewan, in Canada, and in North America is strong. Everybody knows that. There's going to be ongoing demand for tee times. So come when the golf course is open up here in Saskatchewan and you're booking your tee time, you got your weekend off and you got your group ready to go. What are your top three golf courses in no particular order that you're going to be getting on the phone or online booking there? Who are you going to contact? Which courses come golf season? Which three?
Well, because I have a 16 month at hold at home here, I'm not going to be doing much traveling golf. for the most part, it'll probably be Moon Lake. Me and my wife met there, so I've got an emotional connection to Moon Lake. Moon Lake, Saskatoon Golf and Country Club. I work on the maintenance staff on weekends there, so I golf there quite often. And Dakota Dunes, probably more than anything, just usually get out there with a couple of buddies a couple of times per year. I love the challenge. I don't like the wind, but I love the challenge.
You're going to get it there for sure. Excellent. That's a strong lineup. And so that opportunity comes this summer where you get one weekend away to travel, maybe with the baby and the wife, the family's out traveling. Where are you going to go?
Well, I love Nipawin. Nipawin just really looks good to my golf game.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful course. So I would go to Nipawin probably if I could, in Saskatchewan, I'd probably go to Nipawin.
Yeah. Good choice there as well. Awesome, Adrian. This was exactly what I envisioned going back a few weeks when I first met you. You're very polished. I love it. You're welcome back anytime. And I know there's going to be some opportunities for yourself personally there and on the flip side, opportunities for golfers to get in better shape. But just, you know, obviously it's going to help everyone's health as well, the fitness component. And I look forward to our opportunities together with you, with SAS Golf and myself and you and Mackie Physiotherapy moving forward. Thanks a lot for your time. We'll see you soon.
I enjoyed it. Thanks.
You got it.
Yay!